Women That Lead presents Our Leading Edge, featuring your host, Jenna Forster, Mastermind Executive Coach, inspiring women to lead with alignment, passion, and purpose through conversations that inspire. Stretch yourself to a new level. Learn, grow, expand. And now, here's your host, Jenna Forster.
Good morning, afternoon, and evening, everyone. Welcome to Our Leading Edge. This is Jenna Forster, your host, and I'm excited today. We're going to carry on our conversation that we had a few weeks ago with Mr. Greg Stiles, and I'll introduce Greg in just a few minutes. But I thought it was important to carry on the conversation around confidence. So we spoke about confidence and the basics of confidence and what that even means. What is confidence? Where does it come from? All of these types of things. Now, I want to build on that today, and I have Greg back to do that because he did such a great job of initiating the conversation with me a couple of weeks ago. So today, we're actually going to be talking about confidence again, but we're going to be speaking about it from a place of helping others develop it. And we're going to answer questions like, can we build confidence in others, or can we guide others to a certain level of confidence? And then we're going to keep talking about that in that maybe authentic versus inauthentic levels of confidence. And then we're going to talk about how do we help people move through that. So that's what today's show is going to be. I hope that's of interest to you and going to be very engaging today. So before we get into that, I would like to introduce Greg again for those of you that maybe didn't catch him on our first show. Greg Stiles, he's going to work with me on confidence. He does work in this area for his actual clients. And just a reminder, Greg is a human development specialist and he works with executives, athletes, professionals, and basically anyone that's looking to become the best that they can be. And then most importantly to him is to share that with the world. So Greg has a clinical background. He's a licensed psychotherapist for over 20 years, and he brings those diverse skills to each individual or group encounter that he works with today. He's also earned certifications within many areas of coaching. He's been within the coaching field for a long time, and he works under the certifications of executive, coaching, wellness, lifestyle, and living a spiritually informed life, which I think is very, very interesting. Greg's current focus, it involves bringing the very best of psychology, physiology, sociology, philosophy, wisdom traditions, and personal protection. He actually teaches self-defense to women and girls. This information is really synthesized together for him, and he tends to present it under the intention of reminding women of their innate power, wisdom, and strength. And I think that's just beautiful because I think there's such a calling for that and a need for that. And with him working with women to teach both women and girls that skill of self-defense, self-protection, so that they can really enhance their ability to contribute to the world at their highest level. And as all of you know that have listened to me over the last seven radio shows, you know that contribution is huge in my world. So Greg, he's a proud veteran of the United States Army. He lives in Northern Colorado with his beautiful wife, amazing daughter, and an assortment of dogs and cats. So Greg, hello, welcome to the show.
Hi, Jenna. Thank you so much for having me back. I'm very excited to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. And we have a big topic today, so I'm going to jump right in so that we can get going on this. I think it's such an important topic. You know, this weekend I was out at a ball field because my youngest had a tournament, and every week I watch this child grow. And that's one of the things I love about sports. Most of you know I'm sports oriented, and I love the transition that people can make through sport. But to watch these kids, and it's not just my child, it's everybody on the team, as they grow, and they're growing in confidence. You know, which says a lot for the coach. It says a lot for the experiences that we're having. But just to watch that, I always use kids as an example because I think it's so plain to see in them, and there's no muddiness that can come with adults. So if we're really looking for individuals that exhibit confidence versus not, I think kids is a great way to spot it. So that's why I like to mention that. And really, as I think about his coach and, you know, even for us mentors and leaders or coaches, it's really about creating opportunities to build experiences, to build confidence. And I want that to be sort of the overarching umbrella of what we're going to talk today about. But let's start with, can we build confidence in others? Can we guide others to a certain level of confidence? What do you think about that, Greg?
Well, you know, your sports example is perfect. To me, the answer to that is an absolute yes. We absolutely can move and guide others towards higher and higher levels of confidence, moving from a zero point of having no confidence to confidence to where they can overcome any challenges, any obstacles, and really succeed at the level that they are looking to succeed. You know, what you said was really important in that it seems like the coach creates an environment within which your son and his teammates and all the other kids are able to move within that environment and develop the confidence that they need to fully engage the challenges within that environment. And as adults, as leaders, as maybe managers, parents, sometimes we forget that that's a really important part of it, is creating an opportunity-rich environment within which our kids, our workers, our subordinates can really develop that ability to develop confidence. You know, it's important to remember that, I think, going back to our previous conversation, I see confidence as a process. I don't see it as the end goal. I see it as the process of creating that environment and moving through a bunch of different steps, and the ingredients are what the vital mix is. So confidence for me is the rocket fuel that fuels the rocket and allows it to take off. And of course, within that fuel, there are ingredients, and it's important to understand what those ingredients are so that you get the right mix and you provide the right opportunity for people to grow. But Jenna, pointedly to your question, I think we can help others develop confidence. And I think that people in leadership roles, in whatever, however that looks for you, that's a calling for us. That is something that we must do.
It's so true. And I think that, let's dive a little deeper into that. So I think that there's external influences for our confidence level. And we just discussed that as an example, right? Kids in sports and the coach's influence in that. And confidence, yes, it comes from the outside and it comes from the experiences that we have. And basically, it comes from success, right? So the more experiences that we have, the more successes we have within that experience, which aren't always the successes we expect, which is a big key to this. But there's also a piece that's about us, right? So I know that you speak about it from, it's an inside and an outside process. It's not just about doing. So can you talk a little bit about that, the difference there between the outside influences coming to us to create the opportunities for the experiences and the successes, and also the internal side? What's necessary on that internal side?
Yes, I do believe that is the case. I do believe that there's the external and the internal. And you and I both have worked on this for a long time, this process of inside out, that really puts a large emphasis on creating on the inside that which you want on the outside. And so it's really starting with us. And I believe that we must go through these processes of developing confidence to then be able to mentor others and coach others and help others. And so it is an inside out process. It's difficult to fake it. It's difficult to fake being truly confident and then getting out on that stage. Most people can see through that. It doesn't take very long for that to crumble. So it's very much an inside out process. And a lot of it begins with, number one, you know, I love that you said, you know, most confidence comes from success. And yes, it does. But it also comes from the other side of that coin, and that is failure. You must also fail to then get back up and try again and get back up and try again. And there's a lot of confidence that is built through failing and yet persevering. And that is that internal process. to fail and yet get back up, even in the midst of maybe all the external saying, don't get back up, don't get back up. And yet we do, and we persevere, and we develop that grit. That develops that confidence from the inside.
And that's such an important piece. I love that you brought that up, because it's the piece about repetition, right? That that silent force within us that pushes us forward in order to accomplish something. And sometimes it's not tangible. You can't always grasp it or put it in your hands. It's a feeling, and it's not just an emotion feeling. It's a feeling. Like I picture it very, very grounding. I know for me personally, it's like I'm standing and my feet are, they got roots to them. I'm just solid, and I'm going to do this. I'm going to move through. So there's a silent power in that allows us to progress. And that can come from a lot of different places. Can you talk a little bit about where that can come from, that feeling of grounding and silent power of moving forward?
You know, I think that I think it does come from a lot of places. And as we're young, it comes from the external initially. And we get a lot of external feedback from parents and from the environment that for most of us, it's, you know, we fall down as we begin to walk, but everyone encourages us to keep trying, to keep trying, to keep trying. And being that instant going from not being able to walk to basically failing almost every single time until you finally just get it. And then you're just repeating and repeating and repeating. That develops that grounding. And you get a sense that, you know what, if I can do that, then I can handle this challenge too. And so that grounding then begins to permeate your worldview, and it begins to inform how you kind of approach all challenges that come before you. So, you know, going back to sports, we get pretty good at maybe one sport, two sports. And yet if we're really good at those things, we're much more open to trying the other sports, the other physical endeavors, because we feel good about our body. We feel good about how it feels. We know that we have that ability to do that. In parenting, when we have a parenting success and we feel good about the interaction we had with our child, we bring that back into the next interaction that we have. And so those roots just continue to grow.
Absolutely. And it continues on into mentorship and management and leadership. It's the same stuff that we're talking about that you bring up as you grow up and your life changes and you take on different roles within that life. It is the same grounding and feeling that came from way back when that you just build on and build on and build on and build on. So let's talk about what you mentioned earlier. You talked about what I take is that authentic versus inauthentic confidence, right? And are you, where are you coming from? Are you coming from a strong sense of internal confidence? Because as we discuss, can you build it in others? I think it's a necessity that it's in within you first. And once it's within you, then it's a natural outshoot for you to build it in others. So can you talk a little deeper about that inauthentic versus authentic confidence?
I agree with you. I think that we all have experiences of both kinds of authentic confidence, and people that we know that are authentically confident, you know, they're the ones that come across as rooted, as grounded, as just solid in some ways. Now that isn't overly boisterous. It isn't the show. So for me, authentic confidence is that confidence which doesn't need a show. It isn't about, so if we're talking about me, it isn't about me. It's just who I am, and it's how I approach challenges and individuals and settings and events. It's not about shining a light on me or making me feel good or stroking my ego. Inauthentic confidence, I think we see oftentimes when it is about the show. It's about looking at me. It's about shining the light on me. It's about satisfying our own ego drive for success, maybe achievement. And it really isn't about the other person. It isn't about how high we're contributing at what level. It's about what does it do for me and how can I look the best? How can I get another feather in my cap? That kind of thing. And again, you know, most of us, if we encounter somebody like that, if we listen to our internal radar, something just doesn't feel right. We can feel it. It doesn't feel good. It doesn't feel, you know, when you're with somebody that's really authentically confident, it feels good. It feels like a good connection. There's a positive vibe there. When you're with somebody that's inauthentic, you can just feel it. And I'll give you a very quick example. Many years ago, there was an individual that was on the self-help circuit, similar to a Wayne Dyer. And he was at that level, really, at that time. I went to one of his presentations because I was really just curious as to, all right, well, this guy, you know, he kind of presents himself as a guru. What does he really do and who is he and how does he feel? I remember sitting there in the audience, and before the show even started, this man was standing up at the front of the stage, and he had a young woman next to his side, and he had this, had to be $1,000 or more suit on. She was holding a pen, and as people would approach him, he would look at her, she would give him the pen, he would write whatever wisdom he was going to write, and he'd give the pen back. And I was just thinking, wow. He's attempting to present himself as so confident, as so wise, as so rooted, but he was anything but. And that's a good example for me of that thought, that inauthentic confidence that many people attempt to present on the outside, but it really is, it's just a show to try and really quell the anxiety and the feeling of inadequacy that they're trying to hide.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I think that's a place that we've all been in at different times in our lives and in different situations, that there's that whole fake it to make it kind of idea, which I'm not a huge proponent of. But when I think about that, and you brought up the word ego, and when I think about, for me, inauthentic confidence is about pushing. It's about pushing. It's about ego. And at any time your ego is involved, it's really about some sort of need that you're trying to fill. So individuals, in my perspective, that are inauthentic in their confidence level, it's really about a need of theirs. You know, they're trying to please, perhaps. They're trying to prove their worth. They're trying to engage others that they perceive to be at a higher level. Whatever the reasoning is, it's about... There's a fight to it. There's a struggle to it. And it is about pushing, you know, pushing a boulder up the hill versus authentic confidence are individuals that walk with. They walk alongside others to bring others along. And it's nothing about fulfilling a need for themselves. And that's what I'm hearing in what you just said.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Inauthentic confidence and kind of that false confidence is about that person. And somebody that is authentically confident, I love the idea of walking beside others. Walking beside others, you may get some shine, but it's a residue. It's coming from them. It's really about helping others move along the path, not pushing them nor pulling them. You know, sometimes false confident folks, they can be a little bullyish too. It almost feels like, you know, if you don't do what I say, if you don't recognize my greatness and therefore follow me and do what I say, then, you know, something's going to happen. But that's not authentic confidence. Authentic confidence is also trusting that the other person is able, that they are able to live their lives at the highest level. And you're just there to help them get to that point.
Yeah, the difference between, there seems to be a expectation on that inauthentic leadership. So I am this person. I expect this out of you because I am this person. versus an authentic, confident person, authentically confident person who there's an allowing there. Like you said so beautifully, it's that belief in the other person. You know, I believe in you and I believe that you can move in this direction. And so there's such a big difference to that. And so I just want to recap a little bit for our listeners. You know, we're talking about confidence, and confidence is both externally driven from the outside for those people around us that have influence and create experiences for us and the successes that we have. It's also inside work, that grounding foundational work that allows us to feel a solid nature to ourselves. And then that piece about authentic versus inauthentic confidence, and really that, you know, when are you coming from that false sense of confidence, and when are you, you know, you, that look at me or porcelain doll place, and when are you coming from? I know, Greg, you describe it as that calm energy, powerful place. And when we are in an authentic place, we are pushing others full of expectation and accountability towards an outcome. And when we are authentic, we are truly believing in the other person, and we're willing to walk with that other person to move both of us along in a certain direction. So with all of that in mind, can we end the show with the shadow side of building confidence in others? You know, there is a light and dark to most things. And I'd like to just, how do we know, you know, you've talked about how do we recognize when we're pushing versus when we're walking with. So how do we know when we're falling into that shadow side of, or the darker side of building confidence in others? And what is that?
Yeah, you know, there is a shadow side to everything. And my sense of the shadow side of that mentor process, you know, what you'll feel on the other side, if you are a mentee and someone is attempting to mentor you, it's just that strong sense that, boy, this is so much more about you than it is about me. So there's a strong pulling. There's a strong pushing process. There's this process of look at me and how great I am, and you should be listening to me because of who I am. Your internal radar will just be going crazy when you get around these people, because it won't feel like, number one, maybe they may listen to you, but it doesn't feel like they hear you. They may be in your corner, but it doesn't feel like they're really supporting you. What you'll get is, if you're, let's say that you're in an organization, you're in a mentoring relationship, you'll hear from other mentees that have worked with that mentor. All of this feedback, you have to do it offline, though, because a lot of people don't want to talk about this. There's a lot of, there's a lot of prestige sometimes in being able to call oneself a mentor. And when that begins to get someone to someone's head, then the shadow side begins to kick in. And again, it becomes less about how can I help you and more about what does me helping you say about me, and how does that make me even better than I already am?
I love that piece. How does this experience make me even better than I am? That, for me, that flips that porcelain doll, look at me on its head, because even though it sounds the same, it's not about you. It's about how do I help you in order to help us?
Yes. You know, when I think about this, the best thing that I can come up with is, as a parent, when we are sitting at the playground and our first child does something, I don't know, whatever, maybe spits out their pacifier, and we run over, we wash it off, we do all that kind of stuff. Why do we do that? Well, number one, yes, we're kind of concerned, and maybe we don't have a lot of experience around that. But number two, what we're looking at is that we want to make sure that we look like we're a concerned, appropriate parent, and that we're doing the right thing. Now, sometimes you'll see parents there that have 2, 3, 4 kids, and by the third or fourth kid, they spit it out. They spit out the pacifier, and it's not this big rigmarole, because they're no longer engaged in how does this look upon me. Mm-hmm. And in many ways, in organizations and just with that mentor process, that's what I'm talking about. If you feel that that mentor is gaining so much ego value from this relationship, then it's probably not a mature mentoring relationship and one that you want to maybe look at a little bit more closely.
I love that because I know when my children were young and I wanted them to behave in a certain manner, but I wanted them to behave in a certain manner because it was a reflection of me. And right. I didn't want to be embarrassed and I didn't want to look a certain way. So I would try to control them to a level that would allow me to look how I wanted to look. And our relationship changed between me and my children when I let go of that. And I let yes. them be them, and I let them, my favorite word, contribute the way they wanted to contribute. And I think you can take that beyond parenting. You can take that in roles within an organization. Are you trying to control your staff, your peers, your environment to a level that makes you look better? Or are you trying to build the people around you? And, you know, folks, the offshoot of that is everything looks better when you come from that place. So, Greg, how do we recognize if we're the one that's the mentor, the mentee, or in that leadership role, how do we recognize when we're maybe falling into that shadow side of building confidence in others?
Yes, fantastic question. You know, I think that much of it has to do with just your example of being a parent. I think that when you're a mentor and it feels like you are really frustrated with your mentee, that you're getting angry a lot, that it feels like they're just not pulling their weight and they're making you look bad. And you have to be honest to yourself. If you're blowing up at your mentee and you're saying things that are very critical to them and it feels like you're pulling them, and we know this feeling. I know this feeling of attempting to pull people along or push them to where I want them to go. If you're doing that and you have the awareness to be able to recognize that, you need to take a breath and begin to talk to yourself about, well, why am I doing that? Why is it so important that Susie acts this way or says something exactly this way? What is that all about for me? And begin asking the question about what it is for you as opposed to what it means for them first. Start with yourself first and then move forward.
Great ad, because it is so important if we are in any kind of leadership role that we are paying attention, that we are not just paying attention to the people or the things or the environment around us. We are paying attention to ourselves. You know, I just posted on social media this morning the quote, "You are the cause, your life is the effect." And ownership, right? Taking ownership for who you are being in this world and how you are contributing in this world. It's such a huge foundation for me and the work that I do. So Greg, I really appreciate you coming back and taking some time out to have this conversation and to further it along. I think it's such a great conversation and people can really get a lot out of it no matter where you are in life, what your roles are, what your quote unquote titles are. There's information that is necessary for you to be the best that you can be. So I want to thank you for coming and for sharing that information. And can you give the folks listening just a little bit of information on how they can get more information from you and maybe have a conversation or follow up in some way?
Jenna, thank you for allowing me to be here. I always love being on your show and having these conversations. They're so important. People can always visit my website at www.gregstyles.com and or please email me. I love having these conversations with everybody about these things because I think they're so important. And my email is greg@gregstyles.com. Very simple. greg@gregstyles.com. So again, Jenna, thank you so much for the opportunity and I look forward to hearing from anybody that I do. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. And for everyone listening, please join me next time as I'm joined by consultant, trainer, and facilitator Robin Rose as we talk about building a better brain. So thanks, everyone. Have a great rest of your day. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining Jenna on today's program, Women That Lead, Our Leading Edge. For more information regarding today's show or on any of the programs Women That Lead offers, please visit www.womenthatlead.com. Until next time, lead with alignment, passion, and purpose.